I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scandling Center here at the colleges, and this is the Hobart Football Podcast, episode 37 for week 3, Hobart and Moravian at Boswell Field, 1 o'clock on Saturday. We're joined by the head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back.
Thanks, Ted.
You wanted the W, you didn't get it, but I'll tell you what you got was a whole lot of respect from that program. I was walking down out of the press box after the game Saturday, and our path to the car took us down the hall by their locker room. A couple of players getting, you know, untaped and celebrating. And I said to them, you know, great job, man. And one of their staff turned around and said, you guys kicked our butts. And he didn't say butts.
Yeah, it was a hard-fought game. Definitely one that, looking back, the competitor, you want to finish that off and get the win. And, you know, there's no moral victories necessarily and tough defeats. But loved the way we played in terms of the effort. Our guys played hard, played aggressive. And I think there were some really good learning opportunities out of there in terms of what we need to do to finish that off. And as I said to him right afterwards, you know, it's an emotional loss, was just looking them in the eye and say, hey, if we can grow from this and really learn from these mistakes of where we need to finish off a really good team. I mean, obviously Randolph-Macon is a really strong program. They don't lose often at home, let alone they've had a really good run. And to beat them at their place would have been a big key win for our guys. But I also think we can learn a lot and grow from that, and I hope that our guys take that forward into our next game and for the rest of the season.
You held them to their lowest yardage total in 6 years. They scored 88 touchdowns last year. They got one in regulation. I mean, it, like you say, you want the W, but at least there's a top-10 program now. They know who you are, and they respect your program.
Yeah, we've been a top-10 program. We want to get back there, and it starts with our defense. Our defense played lights out. They played hard. They played aggressive. I thought our staff and our players prepared diligently. We had a great game plan going in. Then, most importantly, you have the game plan. Can you go execute it? And I thought our guys did. We executed really well. We knew they were a heavy run and some of their stronger personnels. So I thought our defense came up really, really big. But the thing that we'll talk about is there's still a couple plays, as well as our defense has played for 2 weeks, there's a couple plays in each one of those games that are a little uncharacteristic of how we want to play. And I think that's what we want to put the focus on, is not just, hey, you played great, but like, what are the areas we can improve on? And two touchdowns came on fourth downs, and we got to be able to get off the field. Great teams get off. We had a huge stop in the third quarter on the fourth down. And I think our guys are hungry to say, like, we don't want to just play great. We want to play great and get the win. And I think all three phases had aspects that we could have just done one or two plays there, make a difference. And I thought their first touchdown, we could have done a better job in terms of fourth and nine. Their quarterback made a nice throw, but I thought that we had an opportunity to make the play on the ball that we didn't do quite as well as we'll need to. And then same thing on the fourth down late, as well as we had played. And maybe we had our good chances to win it in regulation, but that fourth and two in overtime, when they probably should have kicked the field goal, they went for the fourth down and it's a 50-50 ball, and that's where we had both older, experienced DBs that can go up and make a play on those balls, and hopefully we will in the future.
How close was the field goal? It's hard for us to tell on the side. You got the clock down to 3, went for the game-winning field goal. Didn't look like it missed by too much.
No, and that's why I said, you know, immediately afterwards, we missed it. It was they had the lower goalpost than ours, but it was off a little bit to the wide left, and you know, we quickly had to regroup and get our guys focused, and just that emotional roller coaster ride, and getting our guys ready to then go play and compete and win in overtime. But it missed slightly to the left. Our protection was good. Our operations was good. And again, we trust our field goal kicker. He just missed it on that play.
The final play, there was discussion. We weren't quite sure what the ruling was, whether they were saying fumble or no fumble. There was some discussion between the referee and you. What were they saying at the end?
Yeah, there was three different calls that got to me. One was called short. One was called a fumble. One was called down. You know, and obviously, they end up going back through, and it was a bang-bang play. Clearly, he wasn't short. He had the first down. The question mark where I was trying to push is that he was down because one of the officials called him down. He got overruled by the official that called it a fumble, and then they clearly recovered the ball. We were just trying to say that our quarterback was down, which would have gave us first and 10 at the 14 or 13-yard line. Didn't go in our way, you know, and I talked to, we were running the quarterback a little bit more at that point because of the way their defense was to get the plus one in the run game. Johnny's got to hold on to that football, but it was actually a bang bang play where his own guy got blocked into him or hit into him. So It's unfortunate because, you know, as well as that game was played, hard fought, back and forth, you don't want to come up with a controversial call. We got to do a better job not putting in the hands of the official on that last one. And that's why I said offensively we had a couple plays that we should have executed better, that being one of them, that would at least kept us on the field to go in. And we felt good we were going to be able to go in and score and either take the lead and win it right there in overtime or push it to a second overtime.
I've seen some great defenses and great defensive players over the year at Hobart. That was as attacking a defensive performance as I've seen. 13 tackles for loss. I mean, they just were relentless at getting across the line of scrimmage and stuffing, especially a run game that was pretty good.
Yeah, I think that's what I take away from it, is that that's not a weak team. And Randolph-Macon is strong up front with their O-line. They're a balanced attack running game with multiple running backs. You know, and I think that we earned their respect in terms of winning the line of scrimmage there. So when that coach talked about winning it, they said the same thing to us afterwards. Unfortunately, they won the scoreboard. I think a lot of people saw that we might have outplayed them in some aspects. We just didn't finish it off. And that's the part that, as myself as a coach and our staff, we're very detailed in the sense of we can't just say that that was a good performance. We got to do a better job finishing it off. But without a doubt, if we can be relentless like that at the line of scrimmage with our linebackers and our D-line and be able to hopefully eliminate or really reduce the amount that other teams can run on us, that's going to be a good sign for us this week and moving forward.
Anthony Romano looked like last year's Anthony in week two. Week one, we really didn't mention his name that often. Was he banged up or a little off in week one, or did you just have an off day?
Yeah, I think week one, part of it was Alfred, where they were going to the ball a little bit more to the perimeter. He played well, but yeah, he played lights out. You know, that's an all-region, all-American type of linebacker play that he played on Saturday. I also think, I mean, our defense was frothing at the mouth, ready to go, you know, play a really good offense. And I think that was the key. Nothing against Alfred. They were really good about, you know, attacking outside a little bit more. So in that game, you saw our outside backers had a little bit more presence. But it's just certain teams schematically will match up. Alfred was actually a little bit bigger inside, so that covered up the inside linebackers a little bit more. I think our D-line played better this week than they did in week one. So, again, as we continue to grow and evolve, I hope that's a sign of, like, we had some young defensive guys getting their second start, and all of a sudden they played a little bit better than week one. But our linebackers, there was a couple plays that I was able to see where they were just flying over. And when they play with that type of speed and aggressiveness, even things that look open closed pretty quickly.
Zeeshan Dixon's one of those young guys in the secondary. He's a work in progress, and he'll make his young player mistakes, but you got to love a nose for the football. Two takeaways.
Yeah, and I think the week one, you know, he gave up the touchdown in week one. I think he learned and grew from that. Actually, the interception was against man-to-man coverage. You know, so he was in good phase and then turned around and played the ball, which we didn't do in week one. So there's growth and development there. And then just being on the spot and special teams hitting that play and then being able to recover it. So, you know, those two takeaways were really good. And I think going forward, we're hoping for more and more takeaways that help set up the offense with better field position.
We know now after this game, this defense can stop anybody in the country. Where is the offense in your mind, and what does it need to do to take the next step?
Yeah, I also think that was a really good matchup. And I tried to alert, like, as good as our defense played, right now, teams that throw the ball are going to challenge us in a different way. So I think, like, this week, Moravian's going to have a much different approach. Not many teams, hopefully, are going to be able to line up and just run the ball on us consistently if we're playing well up front. I still think we're young and young with experience. And we talked about, like, the couple plays that we've given up through the first two games have been through the air. We're going to have to continue to do a really good job with our coverages, our discipline in terms of how we match routes, and then be able to play the ball in the air. Without a doubt, that game alone, we played well enough defensively, we should have won that game. And I think that's the offensively, and we said it going in, Randolph-Macon's front seven was really good on defense. And unfortunately, it was a bad game for us to be at down two of our top three O-linemen. So we had two guys getting their first start and another first year getting his second start. So I don't think our O-line play was as strong as we needed to be to really just go up and down the field on those guys on Saturday. That being said, we got some guys with some key experience that hopefully will provide depth at the O-line moving forward. But without a doubt, we start and go on how well we play up front. Johnny got us out of some trouble. We end up taking, I think, one sack, but there was a handful of times where he was able to at least avoid or maneuver or throw away. And we weren't able to get the running game going. The way they apexed their linebackers, they were always going to outnumber us inside. That was a game where we were going to have more success in the passing game. which, again, I look at the bright spot of how much our passing game improved from week one to week two. We just chemistry, our efficiency. We still missed one or two key ones in the passing game, but where our run game maybe diminished a little bit from week one to week two, I thought our passing game overall was there. But we're also going to see a different challenge this week. Randolph Macon was big and strong. You almost knew where they were going to be. Now we're facing a defense that's going to be a whole bunch of moving parts, similar to our defense that's going to try to disguise and blitz. So it'll be another different challenge. So, again, as we look at evolving it, we got to score more points. There's no doubt about that. And I don't want this to be a situation where our defense, A, doesn't have trust in the offense, but also we play well enough like that on the road. We got to be able to capitalize. And that I didn't think going in it was going to be that low of a scoring game. That being said, you know, we hold a team to 7 in regulation. We should be winning those games more often than not. So challenge the offense right away on Sunday and all week long. They've responded well, and I hope that, again, it's never pointing fingers on one side of the ball or the other. It's a team game, and like I said, there was clearly 3 plays, offense, defense, special teams, that if we make one more play on offense, one more play on defense, one more play on special teams, we win that game. And I think that's the summation of it is, we will always be as strong as all 3 phases marry together. That was a game that would have been a signature win in a lot of ways because of we needed to play a complete game to do it on the road against a really good playoff-type team. And that's why we scheduled it. You know, we talked about, you know, a lot of these games, you know, scheduled. That was scheduled like 2 years out when they were really rolling. And the last 2 years, they've been really strong. So I wanted to give our guys a taste to go on the road and get a feel at a place that football is a priority there. You saw from facilities to how they ran it. You know, there's a reason why Randolph-Macon is going to be good year in and year out and why they're usually the top team in the ODAC conference. I thought it was good for us to go down in a, you know, an environment that they didn't know much about us, like we'll have to do potentially to go on the road in the playoffs. Now we just got to, like I said, take those learnable moments and make sure we know how to finish that game off.
It looks to me like that young receiving group took another step forward in week 2. I mean, a couple of guys made catches in traffic, good yards after the catch. I mean, you know, 2 weeks in, they're going to be a much better group when we get 6 or 8 weeks in.
Yeah, and you're right. We had 2 guys that played wide receiver that didn't play in week 1, 2 older guys. And all the younger guys now had that 1 or 2 games under their belt between the scrimmage and their first game. So I do think, despite just the scoring and despite the stats, it might say, I just know from a coach seeing it and feeling it that our passing game took a step forward. And even 1 or 2 that we missed, that there were some key plays that we might have missed in the passing game, you know, a huge part of that was we had things open that the protection broke down up front. Like, I think we could have thrown even more on them. It's just a matter of, you know, the teams that have beaten Randolph-Macon had the ability to have a strong O-line and the combination of the receiver groups. They're a team that prides themselves on running and prides themselves on stopping the run, similar to us. We just weren't able to get the running game going where we're at with our young O-line and that they were so strong and experienced up front. Not to say we weren't patient with it, but it was more we knew we were going to get more damage done, more yardage in the passing game. And I thought that showed on the 1 touchdown early when we took the lead and even 2 or 3 key plays later on that we had. We hit a couple and we missed a key one late that would have given us the lead in the 4th quarter. I feel pretty strongly if we score that one, the outcome's different. You know, so that's the 1 offensive play or 1 or 2 offensive plays. I think 1 or 2 key defensive stops on the 4th down, and then obviously a kick that Tobin usually makes. There was a handful of opportunities, and as we said after the game, no one play lost it, but a couple of those plays could have won it. And having that mindset of understanding, we don't play to lose, we play to win. And I want guys to never be walking on eggshells, worry about making mistakes. But when those moments come and we put the lights on, we need our best guys to make those plays in those moments.
The target on that pass you're talking about was Ahmad Crowell, and that guy is a gamer. He walks out on the field. It looks like me walking out on the field, but, boy, he limps out there, and then he gives it all.
Yeah, he was not at full strength. There's a reason why he didn't play in week 1, and he eased back into it and you know, was not at full health, but even him not at full health, he still has the ability to go make some plays. And you know, he had a couple of key catches for us. He had the touchdown, and I think the one in the 4th quarter, he made a great move on the receiver. We just missed it, unfortunately. Again, that's where we just said on to the next play, and we had a key, you know, couple opportunities afterwards where we didn't execute. So, again, not any one play. I thought Johnny played really well, but that's, I know, a throw that he probably wants back that he'll normally hit.
So they always say between week 1 and 2 is when you make your biggest jump and you learn the most about your team. So what overall, taking a step back, what do you see in this team after 2 weeks and what needs to get better?
Yeah, I think we had a really good feel now that our defense, like you said, is going to be really tough against the run. You know, I think that one we knew kind of going in, but I think we knew it because of our linebackers. Billy Brosco is playing really well at the point of attack, and he's one name. But, I mean, I think of guys that, like, we're giving up some weight. You look, Dante Randall's, Donwan McGee's, you know, and then we've had Nick Provenzano. Dylan Williams-Mahler had a really big game. So guys that maybe weren't – you've known some of their names but haven't been prominent necessarily up front. We got five or six D linemen that have played really well through two games, and I think if they can continue to play well – we haven't seen a ton of dropbacks, so you haven't seen as many sacks yet, but I think that'll be a big thing for us, is just being able to see if we can stop the run and then be able to have our linebackers being mixed in with the run and the pass. I think this week we're going to see a different type of attack. They're going to try to chuck it and duck it around the field, so it'll be another challenge. But I think we've kind of confirmed that if our defense plays well, we're going to be in games. I think the other side of it is we haven't scored enough on offense. So I still think, and I said that back, if you think about it, I knew where we were. We had too many injuries through preseason at some key positions that offensively, eyeball test, we just weren't clicking as well as I wanted to going into Alfred. I thought we'd did much better. We just didn't equal the points. We were also, I think, playing a much better defense. I think if we're healthy at the front O-line, I think that's a different outcome in that game. Not to ever say that it's one or two things, but we can protect better with our necessarily if we had two of those guys back. I also think we could have run the ball better, which now makes us an even more balanced offense. So to beat that type of team on the road, you can't be one-dimensional. And again, not many teams are going to win scoring 7 points. So I think we're still learning about who we're going to be offensively. And then the other part is special teams. I think we just there were some opportunities in the first two games. I don't think we've been as dominant as we wanted to be in special teams. You know, we're 1-for-3 on field goals. We're usually a little better than that. Our punting, we've gotten a couple of takeaways, but we're not necessarily, and Vicente's coming back from his injury. So there's a handful of reasons why, but we also have some young guys in coverage, like they had good field position on the one kickoff. We're still a work in progress in really all three phases. Even though our defense looks really strong, there's still some moving parts on the back end that we're still trying to solidify. So yes, that would have been a huge win, but it's also a situation where we're going to continue to get better. And we've been tasked at it as a staff to continue to evaluate our personnel. We've had two JV games these first 2 weeks that have been able to see some younger guys play and compete that we think they'll continue to grow and get confidence. But I also think like that was an example of how we need to finish, and I mean, clearly we've missed some plays to know how to finish, so that we don't want to be in that same situation and come on the short end of the stick next time.
You mentioned the D-line. Normally the D-line kind of engages and the linebackers come in and clean it up, but these guys are finishers. You've got 31 tackles from your top three D-linemen. I mean, these guys are disrupting plays.
Yeah, and I think that is also attributed to how teams have tried to. The first 2 weeks, it's been heavy run, you know, against us, so that's where the D-linemen can fall in a little bit more. You know, I think that's where stats can be deceiving. You mentioned like Anthony Romano before, like even though he might not have as many tackles, he played well in week one, but a team that wants to really go at him consistently, like I said, he was all over the field on Saturday. So D-line's done a really good job. I thought that was a better O-line that they faced in week two. I thought Randolph Macon, although still, you know, they're still got to fill in some roles of who they graduated the year before. And you said that last week. I thought it was a really good job of, like, we weren't getting pushed. There were some double teams that got pushed back, but one guy was getting double, the next guy was making the play. And I think that's a good sign of where we want to be up front because, again, there's very few teams that we're going to be just flat out bigger than at D-line. But with our strength, our explosiveness, our movement, we're going to try to make sure that O-lines are kind of guessing where we're going to be and then sometimes chasing ghosts on, like, where would that guy come from? And I think that's the speed that we try to recruit and develop. And if we can stay healthy and stay fresh up front, that front seven, and we're rotating guys through, is going to be pretty dynamic.
You got Moravian this week from the Landmark Conference out of Pennsylvania, 1 o'clock kickoff at Boswell Field. And normally we talk about shutting down the run and making the quarterback throw. Doesn't matter with this guy. He's had no run game really for the first 2 weeks, but Jared Jenkins is just a terrific quarterback. What do you see from him on film?
Yeah, he's a senior quarterback. He's played, so he's got experience. I mean, last year put up a ton of yards. They'll run it to keep you honest, but majority of their runs are out of spread sets where teams are playing pass, and then they'll kind of run it that way. He is a guy that is really going to be unfazed. Like we know we got to be able to rush the passer. We know we got to get into him and make sure he's not comfortable. So I think between our base defense and some different packages that we might throw at them, we're going to have to do a good job making sure he's not comfortable in the pocket. And even when he does scramble, he scrambles to throw, not scrambles to run. So we got to then stay in coverage a little bit longer. He's savvy. He's one of those guys in the backyard that can kind of create some things. So we got to be really disciplined and not give up not only just big plays, but chunks of yardage if and when he does is able to move the pocket. So, again, that's where I think this week a challenge for our defense has been, all right, yes, we still need to stop the run, but how is our rush integrity? Can we get pressure on him without giving up rushing yards to the quarterback as he pushes through the pocket, as well as the ability to make sure that when we're there, we can finish off the play and not let him escape to then throw, because, you know, it's tougher to stay in coverage those extra, you know, 2 to 3 seconds after the normal time when the ball's thrown.
It's always interesting, that balance. You want to be aggressive, but a quarterback like this can use that aggressiveness against you. And like you talked about, you know, Coach Muff always used to talk about the lineman running, you know, running by the play. You can't do that.
Yeah, and that's we've done a handful on Tuesday and Wednesday so far this week of both our offensive line going against their they run a very similar defense. So it's like going against one another in a lot of ways. They're going to move, stunt, blitz. They come from a lot of different ways. This will be the first team that we're going to face on offense that does a lot of man. So we've been doing a lot with pass protection, but a huge part of that is because of the defensive rush integrity is like, all right, yeah, we all want to go get the quarterback, but we also have to understand how do we fit in relation to our other defenders to make sure that we're creating a pocket where we can keep him in the cage.
Yeah, we talked about last week, it wasn't really a true 3-4, and that was part of the problem. That guy on the edge was 91, was a fantastic player.
Very good
listed
player.
As a linebacker, but he came up and really played like a D-end. This is more of a true 3-4 defense, isn't it?
Yes, but similar. They're going to have that will backer. So, again, 91 is probably one of the best D-ends we're going to face. That kid is probably an all-region, all-American type play. And not just because of against us. I mean, we saw it on film, but he was really explosive against us. They're going to run a very similar defense. There will be some time there in a three-man front, but they're essentially their will backer is listed. He's a D-end. He's going to be up in an even front, playing like a D-end. Even if he's standing up, he'll drop him a little bit. So it's a defense we'll see. A couple of teams in our conference upcoming will have that similar type of deployment where they list themselves as a 3-4, but they're going to be able to be multiple between an on and even front, walking that guy up, dropping the will off. And then what they really do a really good job, and their head coach, he's a good guy. I know him well. He's very good defensive mind, and they're going to do a lot of different blitz packages, similar to like what Coach Green and our defense staff is going to do. I think really good defensive coaches will make sure that the O-line and the quarterbacks are uncomfortable. So that's going to be the battle. I think if you look at it just from an outside in, which defense can make the other offensive line and quarterbacks more uncomfortable, and which offensive coach can do the best to make their O-line and quarterback comfortable and in rhythm. And if we can do that, that's going to be the challenge for us on our side of the ball, and at the same time, that's what our defense is going to be trying to do against them.
Your passing game so far has been almost all to the wide receivers. You've got some tight ends who can catch it. Are you going to try to get them a little more involved, or are you content to have them as run blockers?
Now, the deceiving part about it, they've been out in routes, just the way that certain teams have defended us. If you looked at Randolph-Macon, for example, they were so tight in, we thought that the tight ends were going to have a really good day. And I think we ended up having 3 catches or, you know, from the tight ends. Could have been more, but just the way the protection broke down sometimes, we had to get the ball out on time outside. Even against Alfred, we targeted. I mean, you think of some of those sets, we had 3 and 4 tight ends out there. Just happened to be that we didn't target them. The ball wasn't thrown for various reasons. So, no, I think we'll have 4 tight ends that are going to be in the game plan ready to go for this week. You know, we'll be multiple in some of our packages. I think right now our quarterbacks are being ingrained. There's a couple plays where the ball's it's going to go to specific people, but for the most part, it's all based on the read and progression. And there's going to be some games where we might target them more than others, but I trust our tight ends. And, you know, I think they can play a little bit better right now in the run game in terms of what we need them. But from a passing threat, we trust that all 4 of those guys will be able to get out there and be threats for us.
How were the guys after the game on Saturday? How much was their pride in how close they came, and how much of it was, darn it, we left a W on the table and we're not going to let that happen again?
Yeah, I think the great thing about football is you kind of know walking off the field where you did. And our guys, I think, know that they played hard. I mean, it was a physical game and their bodies were sore. It was a long ride back. But at the same time, that's one of those you almost need less words than that. You know, we talk briefly afterwards, literally just to kind of get their minds right, you know, because there was high emotions. I didn't want guys, including coaches, to be caught up in woulda, shoulda, couldas. The reality was we lost to a good team that 9 times out of 10, we win that game. I want to make sure that the next time that we're 10 out of 10, we win that game. And so to me, that whole ride back, I'm thinking of every single play call, every single decision, every call, things that were in our control, things that weren't in our control. And that's what we want to empower our guys at. Like, let's go watch film and be honest. And on Sunday, we attacked it. We had a JV game on Sunday. No rest for the weary. We were back at it. So we were able to evaluate and, you know, evaluate our staff, evaluate our younger guys that were playing. And we were 2-0. We won both of our JV games the last two Sundays. So there's a good sign of what's to come with our younger guys. And as I challenged our younger guys on Tuesday, just like, all right, now we're done with the JV games. What's your role? Like, all right, if you're a starter, great. If you're not, if you're a second, third, fourth in depth chart, what are you doing every single day? What conscious decisions, what intentional decisions are you making to make us a better team and increase your role? So that should help out in special teams. As there's injuries, we got to have guys, younger guys that are becoming more and more confident. And so that was my message more right after the game was like, don't ever be too high or too low about this. Be excited that we competed, but more importantly, like, be hungry of the fact that we didn't finish it off. And without pointing any fingers, I made it very clearly. You know, I know Toby took it hard on him. It was not his fault. We didn't lose the game. He could have won it. Johnny could have won it. Defensive backs, defensive line. Like, there's not one guy that lost that game. I always say, I'll take the blame. That's on me. We should have won that game, and I'll figure out how we can be better in those roles. Our players win games. Our coaching staffs are the ones that we got to figure out how we could have done a little bit better there. So I know all the whole way back, coaches were talking, we were looking, we were assessing personnel, we're going through scheme, and our eyes quickly went to, I just think that's almost a little bit of a trap in the sense of like, yeah, woulda, shoulda, couldas, and now don't let that be a hangover to last into the next week. Because Moravian had a very big win over Utica. We got to get our eyes focused on our next opponent. So we quickly did that on Sunday. And although we had the JV game, I was making it very clear, all eyes, it's not talking about anyone else other than Moravian. Our focus is there. They're 1-1 against two good teams. We could be 2-0. We could be 0-2. That's the reality of where we're at right now. So don't get too caught up on, you know, big picture outside noise of national rankings, top 10 team. You know what? Maybe we'll see at the end of the year. Maybe Randolph-Macon is a top 10 team. Maybe they're not the same team as last year, so maybe they're not. Maybe we're a top 10 team. Who knows? Like, we just have to put the focus back on Hobart. I know it sounds cliche, but I thought that game was epitomizes why we have to put the focus on us. One or two plays on offense, one or two plays on defense, one or two plays on special teams. We don't just win by one. We win by three or four scores. And I'm sure Randolph-Macon is saying the same thing, but that's why it's so early in the season. We have to continue to grow and prosper if we're going to kind of reach our full potential.
And that's what championship teams don't have to say. They don't say, if we'd made this play, if we'd made it, because they do make the play.
Absolutely. And that's honestly why we've been close, but when we've been rolling in the past, we would have made those plays, and that's where we're not at yet. And that's the reality. I wish it was different. I would love to be sitting here saying we're 2-0 and we got it all figured out. We don't. But I'm also not afraid to say that we're going to work our butts off this week to make sure that hopefully you're going to see growth and a better effort. And again, it's not just the effort. It's the execution. It's the – we had guys still make mistakes. Like, there's still mistakes that were there that maybe didn't get capitalized as much. We just got to keep getting 11 guys on the same page. And, again, I think we'll have a better version of ourselves this week against a really strong Moravian team.
All right, Moravian, 1 o'clock kickoff Saturday at Boswell Field. You can find this podcast on Apple, Google, wherever you go to get your podcasts, and get all your information at hwsathletics.com. This has been the Hobart Football Podcast with Coach Kevin DeWall. Thanks for giving your time generously, as always.
Oh, Ted, I appreciate you traveling all the way down to Virginia. You go above and beyond. We appreciate all you do. I know our fans and our families really appreciate your coverage of the team, and I don't always hear what you're saying during the game, but I know, like, your prep work, you're preparing like our guys prepare this week. So I know you'll be ready for Moravian. And just again, thank you for all you do.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks.